If you don't know who I am, I'm Ken Curse, senior pastor here. And I have a confession to make this evening. Out of all the days of the Christian year, you know, out of all the, you know, the high holy days that we have, you know, we have the joyous celebration, I believe, of Christmas Eve, always my favorite service. You know, there's Easter, there's even Pentecost, these big, festive, joyous kind of days. And then there's Ash Wednesday. Not my favorite high holy day, because Ash Wednesday is intended to be a difficult service. It's a little dark, although it's really bright in here. It's a little dark. It's a little dingy, right? There's not a mountaintop experience. In fact, we're invited to dig down deep, because that's where the ashes are, and that's where the dust is. In Genesis, we read that the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. In other words, we are formed. The story tells us that we are formed out of dust. It is a reminder to us that we are mortal, okay? And for dust we shall return. It reminds us that, you know, we are imperfect, we're incomplete, we're both sinner and saint, all wrapped up into one. We're not always who we appear to be. Never thought about that. Remember David from the Old Testament? David is the one who took out Goliath, right? He's the one that was, you know, the king of Israel. He's also the one, and you probably remember the story, right? He's a stark reminder of how mortal we are, how imperfect we are. You know the story, right? There's Bathsheba. And one day she's out sunbathing on a rooftop, and David just happens to be out on his rooftop, and she catches his eye, so much so that he uses his kingly power to have Bathsheba brought to the palace. Adultery, you know, ensues. All, you know, all of this stuff happens. There's the cover up. There's the eventual plan to have Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed in battle, which happens. That's what we remember a lot about David. The one who killed Goliath, the one who was chosen by God to be the king of Israel, the one that the scriptures say was a man after God's own heart, and yet this is David as well. He's not what he appears to be on the outside, right? On the inside, there's the struggle of right and wrong and good and evil and being who God has called him to be versus who he really was. Sometimes things are not always as they appear to be. Growing up, I used to hate cleaning my room. I was like most kids. I don't know many kids who love to clean their room. And so I was pretty normal in that way. I did not like to clean my room. And for me, I was like, what's the point? It's my room. It's my stuff. You know, so why do I need to clean it? Why do I need to make my bed? I'm just going to mess it up later on that evening. So why go to all the trouble to make it in the morning when I'm just going to mess it up? So I had it all worked out. Much to the chagrin of my parents, until they came up with the allowance incentive, right? And I think it was around age 10, my parents decided, okay, we're going to encourage you to clean your room, because if you clean your room each week, we're going to give you, and I can't remember how many, X amount of dollars. But they said, we're going to check it, we're going to verify it before we give you the allowance. Now, most of the time, I was looking for the maximum return for the most minimum of effort. So I quickly noticed that my dad, who was doing the verifying, he sort of had a schedule. See, I quickly learned that he would check my room every Sunday afternoon. And he would only spot check my room every Sunday afternoon. And so I had figured out, you know what? If I make my bed on Sunday and make sure that I got all the trash and all the stuff that was scattered all over the room for that week, I got it all together and I shoved it into my closet with no rhyme or reason to it, you know, just in the closet, my room would be clean. And it worked. It worked. My dad would come, like clockwork on Sunday afternoon. My dad come in and look and check. All right, looks pretty clean, good. Here's your allowance for the week. Until one day, at least one Sunday afternoon, he decided he would check a little bit differently. Right? And I, unbeknownst to me, I had made my bed for that day. I had got the trash out. I had gathered up all the stuff that was scattered all over the floor and shoved it once again into my closet and shut the door. My dad comes in, he looks, and he goes over to the closet. Who opens the door? Well, you know what? The door sort of, once he began to open, it just opened itself. As all the stuff came tumbling out there into the room. Sort of like a bomb had just gone off. Or my closet had just thrown up into my room. I mean, that's what it looked like. And all I could think of was, oh no, I am busted. Right? My sister sold me out. Well, that's what I figured, of course. That's what little sisters do. And I was busted, and you know what? Truth be known, it came to light that what appeared to be clean and nice and tidy on the outside was not as it appeared to be. And I think about that, and I think that's kind of what Ash Wednesday is for us. Ash Wednesday is the time for us to sort of clean out the dust and the ash of our closets, before we consider cleaning up the rest of our room for all the world to see. We have the habit of cleaning, trying to look nice and tidy on the outside, whereas if we're really honest, there's a lot of dust and ash and stuff that we've collected and thrown into the closet of our lives. And yet Ash Wednesday is a time where God invites us to open up our closets. Invites us to do a little cleaning of our hearts and our minds, to uncover the places where we've shoved some of this stuff that maybe we're not very proud of, stuff that we attempt to hide, stuff that maybe we just need to get rid of. And I think it's like, well, what kind of stuff are we talking about? For some of us, it might be grudges that we've held on to. It might be jealousies that we have. It might be pridefulness, unforgiveness. It might be the tendency to assume the worst about somebody because of a political party that they are a member of, or because of a view that they have or don't have, or whatever it is. And so we assume the worst just because of that. I mean, there's stuff like bitterness and resentment and fear of the unknown, fear of losing control, fear of others. Well, there's the stuff that we have a tendency to shove into our closets that sort of discolor our character. Maybe it's dishonesty or selfishness or gossip or ungodly attitudes, prejudices, intolerance, unhealthy habits that we have, vices we try to shove into the closet because we want to look nice and tidy on the outside. Maybe the biggest of all is self-righteousness, and that is very simply that, hey, I'm okay, I'm good. There's nothing that I need to clean out. But see, eventually I think there comes a time when we have to deal with our stuff. For David, that's He had a little help from the prophet Nathan, but David finally got to that point, and you see the pain and you see the difficultness in this, in that, in David's famous psalm, Psalm 51, where he writes, he cries out to God, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you alone I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight." For you see, David took a hard look. He finally, you know, with Nathan's prodding, he finally took a hard look at himself, at what he had really become. And what he found was that he wasn't what he appeared to be. And I think he knew that. He knew that. And in the psalm, we see him finally coming to grips with that and finally coming clean before God, or seeking that, as he says. "Renew a right spirit within me, create in me a clean heart," as he cries. See, we forget that this is exactly the place where God, right, longs to be. Despite our best efforts to keep the closet shut, to look nice and tidy on the outside, this is the place where God longs to be. To enter into those dark places, to open up those closets, filled with our transgressions, filled with our sins, our dust, our ash. Because as Paul reminds us, all of us has fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. All of us, in other words, have these closets, right? Has been that way from the beginning of time. It's why we were expelled from the Garden of Eden. It's why much of Jesus' ministry was focused on the heart rather than what the appearance. See, Ash Wednesday isn't so much about getting a cross on our forehead or on our wrist so that all could see. Is symbolizing our venture, our journey into those places, the secret places, the dark places, the closets where we stow away all our stuff that we don't want to be seen. See, it's one of those times where we're invited to open that and allow God to meet us there. Because that is what God wants to do. God wants to meet us there in those places. That's what tonight is about. It is an invitation to enter into those places, to allow God to meet us there. Because I think that's, you know, it's one thing I know, that is God's desire. If there was ever a place where God wants to be, it's in the midst of our dust and our ash and the closets filled with all of our stuff that we've tried to hide. Because here's the thing. What I believe God does God's best work in our closets. So that is our invitation tonight. To pause for a moment to think about, okay, what have I been pushing into there, into that closet? What do I need to do to open that, to rid myself of some of those things, to offer those to God? God does God's best work in our closets. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this evening as David did so long ago. And we come not as spotless or cleaned up people that we can appear to be on the outside, but as imperfect people, people with those dark places where we shove all of our stuff that we attempt to hide from you, O Lord, and from others. And so, Lord, help us to allow your light into the recesses of our hearts. For that is the place you long to meet us, to offer your love, to offer your forgiveness, to offer your grace. And so may these ashes we receive this night be a sign, not just of the cross, but a sign not just of our mortality, but also of our frailties, also of our faith. So create in us, O God, a new heart. Renew a right spirit within us. For it is in the name of Christ we pray these things. Amen.